Have you ever been in a situation where you had to choose between doing what you knew to be right or pleasing someone that you wanted to impress? During college, I had an internship with a business magazine in Kansas City, where I near where I went to college, and I mostly did boring research projects because I was just the intern. But one day, the associate editor asked me to write an article, which I thought was a cool thing, and so she told me what she wanted me to write about, and what she wanted me to do was to write an article that was poking fun at students at one of the local high schools. Now, this school was a private school, and it had a reputation in the area as being the school where all the rich kids went, and they had started a project to help homeless people in the city, and so this associate editor thought that was kind of ironic, and so she wanted me to write an article that was making fun of the rich kids helping the poor families. And she thought that would be a funny thing to put into the magazine. So I called a couple of the students, and I talked to their teacher, and it turns out that they were sincerely trying to help people. Imagine that. They knew they were privileged, and they wanted to make a difference in the lives of people less fortunate than themselves. And so I had a choice to make. I'm happy to announce I wrote an article telling the story as it was. I put the students in a good light. Here these young people were trying to make a difference in their community. And I wrote up the little article and I gave it to the associate editor. And she said to me, "This is not what I asked you to write." And I said, "I know it's not, but this is the way I saw it." And that article never ran in the magazine. Not my version or hers. We all face moments like that, though, when we have to choose. Whose blessing do you want most? Do you want God's blessing, or do you want the world's blessing? Who are you trying to please in your life? That was a recurring theme in Jesus' ministry. Who are you trying to impress? Whose blessing are you seeking? Do you want the approval and the applause of people? Well, then, do what people will admire. Seek fame, seek fortune, seek power, seek pleasure in the world. You can achieve those things if you set your mind to it. You can probably become a big deal in the world, at least for a little while? Or do you seek the approval and blessing of God? And if so, then you need to do it. Have you ever been in a situation where you had to choose between doing what you knew to be right or pleasing someone that you wanted to impress? During college, I had an internship with a business magazine in Kansas City, where I near where I went to college. And I mostly did boring research projects because I was just the intern. But one day, the associate editor asked me to write an article, which I thought was a cool thing. And so she told me what she wanted me to write about. And what she wanted me to do was to write an article that was poking fun at students at one of the local high schools. Now, this school was a private school, and it had a reputation in the area as being the school where all the rich kids went. And they had started a project to help homeless people in the city. And so this associate editor thought that was kind of ironic, and so she wanted me to write an article that was making fun of the rich kids helping the poor families. And she thought that would be a funny thing to put into the magazine. So I called a couple of the students, and I talked to their teacher, and it turns out that they were sincerely trying to help people. Imagine that. They knew they were privileged, and they wanted to make a difference in the lives of people less fortunate than themselves. And so I had a choice to make. I'm happy to announce I wrote an article telling the story as it was. I put the students in a good light. Here these young people were trying to make a difference in their community. And I wrote up the little article and I gave it to the associate editor. And she said to me, "This is not what I asked you to write." And I said, "I know it's not, but this is the way I saw it. And that article never ran in the magazine. Not my version or hers. We all face moments like that, though, when we have to choose, whose blessing do you want most? Do you want God's blessing, or do you want the world's blessing? Who are you trying to please in your life? That was a recurring theme in Jesus' ministry. Who are you trying to impress? Whose blessing are you seeking? Do you want the approval and the applause of people? Well, then, do what people will admire. Seek fame, seek fortune, seek power, seek pleasure in the world. You can achieve those things if you set your mind to it. You can probably become a big deal in the world, at least for a little while. Or do you seek the approval and blessing of God? And if so, then you need to do what God requires. Honor Him, obey His word, put the needs of others ahead of your own needs. And then you will receive God's blessing, both in this life and for all eternity. Jesus dealt with these issues one day in Galilee. He was teaching there. He was healing and doing important ministry there. Word was spreading about Jesus. And so a large crowd gathered around Him. And we read this story in Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 17. It says, He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of His disciples was there. And a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal regions around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear Him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch Him because power was coming from Him and healing them all. We'll read more in just a minute here. Lots of people had come to see Jesus on this occasion, and this is a time in Jesus' ministry when He was very likely at the height of His popularity. People were traveling from far away, from as far south as Jerusalem, as far north along the coastal regions, it says, Tyre and Sidon, which is actually up in modern-day Lebanon. So from north and south, people were gathering there in Galilee to hear this young rabbi who was not only teaching but healing and casting out demons, and the people were so impressed with Jesus. They wanted what Jesus had. And He was healing in such a powerful way. It says power was coming from Him. People just wanted to touch Jesus. And when they did, they were healed or demons were cast out. And the people came that day because they wanted Jesus' blessing. They wanted His wisdom. They wanted His healing power. They wanted to touch Jesus. And Jesus didn't disappoint. Jesus did heal them. And demons were cast out. And lives were changed. And there's an important lesson in this, what will become an introduction to the passage I'm about to read. An important lesson here, and that is that Jesus wants to bless us. Do you believe that is true in your life? That Jesus wants to bless you. He wants to bring good things into your life. He wants to do good things for you. Jesus wants to heal. He wants to comfort. He wants to renew. He wants to forgive. This is why Jesus came to the earth. This is why He came and lived among us. It's what He did. It's why He gathered disciples. It's why the crowds were always around Jesus. It's also why His Spirit lives within us today. Because Jesus wants to bless us. And of course, we need His blessing, don't we? I know my life isn't perfect. I can still use some of what Jesus can offer. I imagine that's true for you too. We struggle sometimes. We have worries and fears and unfulfilled dreams. We have illnesses. We have weaknesses. If we were living in Jesus' time, I'm sure we would have been part of that crowd because we want what Jesus can give us. We need His blessings. And so we come to Jesus just like those crowds did, and we gather around Him. We pray to Him. We bow before Him. We seek after His love, His compassion. And Jesus wants to bless you, just as He powerfully touched and healed the people that day. Jesus blesses us. He loves to show us love. And that's good news. But how Jesus blesses us may not be quite as simple as we think it is. Jesus' blessings are not like the world's blessings. What Jesus offers us may not, in fact, always look like a blessing. Sometimes Jesus gives us things that we may not even be asking for, and because they come from His hand, they're blessings, but it may take us a while to understand why He's given them to us. Sometimes His blessings don't come exactly when we want them to come. After healing the people that day, Jesus started to teach them. And He said some remarkable things that I'm going to read in just a second here. And some of the things that He said, in fact, made the people uncomfortable. And I think as we hear them today, they might make you uncomfortable too. As we think about the blessings that we seek from Jesus, and we listen to these words, we might be challenged a little bit. So resuming now at verse 20. Looking at His disciples, He said, "Blessed are you when you are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." Jesus addressed these words to His disciples, and that's significant. He was talking to people like us, right? People who follow Him. Those who had chosen to give their lives over to be close to Jesus, who were beginning at this time in His ministry, beginning to have what we would call faith, even if they didn't fully understand how Jesus would save them from their sins. These were His followers. Jesus knew that He would not always be treated by the large and happy crowds. And He also knew that His disciples would not always be treated well. And that's why He says, "Blessed are you when people hate you and exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man." He's talking about Himself, because of me. Jesus wants to bless us. But He knows that the world doesn't always agree with that. We know that's true. His followers, just like the Old Testament prophets, just like Jesus' disciples that we can read about later in their lives, who many of them died martyrs' deaths, just like Jesus Himself, we will often be ridiculed and rejected by the world. But Jesus made us this amazing promise. This passage can be kind of divided into some good news and then some hard news. The good news is this: Jesus blesses us when the world rejects us. Jesus blesses us when the world rejects us. Now, Jesus' words may sound a little backward or upside down here because the things he says doesn't sound like blessings, do they? You're blessed when you're poor, when you're hungry. You're blessed when you're weeping. I don't know about you, but that's not the kind of thing that I pray for very often. Those things sound like hardships, not blessings. They sound like ways of suffering, not good things that God could give us. You know, there are some people in the world who are born into hard circumstances. There are some people who suffer as a result of their own choices. There are some people who endure hardship because of the unjust ordering of society. And then there are some who suffer because the world rejects the followers of Jesus. Just as the world rejected Jesus. We may suffer because we claim Jesus as our Savior. Because we choose to honor Him rather than following the ways of the world. And that's really where Jesus is going with these words that are challenging to us. You see, if we follow Jesus with all of our hearts, and if we seek to obey His word and to share His love and to tell His story with people in need, then we should feel a tension with the ways of the world. We should feel, in fact, like we are not at home in the world. And we should expect to be insulted. We should expect to be rejected. We should expect that just as Jesus was ridiculed and ultimately put to death, that the world will eventually turn against us. And so Jesus warns us, if we follow Him, the world is going to reject you. And you will suffer. In our culture, when we stand up for the biblical view of marriage, the world calls us hateful. Right? Everyone in this room, the world looks at us. If you're willing to say what you believe, the world's going to say that you hate people. When we say that our identity comes from knowing Christ, not from the color of our skin or our sexuality or our political views, those aren't the things that ultimately define us. But if we say that, then the world's going to say, oh, you're out of touch. When we promote the value of life, even unborn life, the world looks at us and says, you're intolerant. When we say that all people are made in God's image, all people of all races, of all cultures, of all languages deserve fair treatment and opportunity for a good life, the world says, oh, you're weak. When we declare the gospel message that Jesus Christ is the only Savior, the world says, you're prejudiced. For some followers of Jesus, being rejected by the world leads to real suffering, real poverty, real hunger. Think about our brothers and sisters in places of religious oppression like in China or parts of the Muslim world, where to proclaim the name of Jesus publicly, to declare the things that we believe in a way that the authorities would hear about, can often result in imprisonment and persecution and even death. Now, for us, we live in a free culture and we aren't going to go to jail for the things that we believe. But we might hear critical words. We might be told that our views are not valid, that we're not wanted, that we shouldn't be part of the public discussion because the things that we believe don't fit with the values of the world. And that sort of rejection can still hurt. It might not be real suffering, but it can still hurt. And when we face that sort of rejection, don't worry. Don't be sad. In fact, Jesus says, rejoice, leap for joy, because that's when His blessings will begin to really flow into our lives. And it takes faith to believe that, especially in a situation where you know to stand up for your faith and to say what you believe is going to result in someone looking down on you or saying something nasty to you, or again, if you live in another part of the world, even risking your own life. It's then trusting that God is going to be there to protect you, that God is going to be there to bless you, that when the world rejects you, that is when God's blessings, when the blessings of Jesus will really flow into our lives. Jesus blesses those who honor Him and who love Him. He blesses those who obey His teaching, even when no one else is doing it. Jesus blesses those who love our neighbors. Jesus blesses those who treat people with compassion. Jesus blesses those who seek after the things of God rather than the things of the world. Jesus blesses those who honor God instead of honoring themselves, instead of seeking after honor from the world. And Jesus blesses us with His peace and with His hope and with the promise of eternal life. So that's the good news, if you can call it good news. But then we come to the second half of Jesus' teaching, and this is where we might get really uncomfortable. And this is where the real test of our faith comes in. Because you see, our lives are actually pretty comfortable, aren't they? And that's why the things that Jesus said should make us uncomfortable. In comparison to most of the world around us, I know that I'm rich and well-fed and happy and spoken well of most of the time. And that's probably true for you too. And maybe that should concern us a little bit. Because when Jesus says, woe to you, He might be talking about us. And we need to take a hard look at our hearts. We need to understand that we face this temptation, particularly because of the culture that we live in, that is not only wealthy but also free, which means for us largely free from persecution. And so we face this temptation to get comfortable and to revel in the good things offered by the world instead of seeking after the blessings that Jesus wants to give us. And so here's the hard part of Jesus' teaching and the part that we may struggle with today, and that is that Jesus withholds His blessing. He withholds His blessing from those who seek the world's acceptance. And that may make us think a little bit about how we live our lives. It'd be easy for any of us to think that we are blessed because of all the material wealth and comfort that surrounds us. Look how blessed we are. Maybe those aren't God's blessings. We just go along with the ways of the world, and everything seems easy, and our lives seem happy, and everybody gets along, and won't that be nice? And we could say, look how blessed I am. And my guess is there are a lot of people who don't know Jesus who think that their lives are full of many, many blessings. And it might look that way from the world's perspective. What does it mean to seek after the world's acceptance? There's tremendous pressure in our culture these days to join the movement. You know what the movement is. To be on the right side of history. To join the cause, to fall in line with the right political and social agenda of the day. To believe and stand up for the fashionable causes, to be on the right side of the political spectrum, to try to impress the right people. You know what that's like. If you want everyone to speak well of you in our culture, then you play by the world's rules. You hold the right political views, you use the right language, you're outraged by the right things. And of course, you also, along the way, you scoff at any spiritual conviction, especially if it comes under the name of Christ. Because that's not acceptable anymore. To go along with the ways of the world may lead to success in the eyes of the world. It probably would. You can abandon your faith and follow the world, and you can be very successful in this life, especially in our culture, because it's all set up for you to succeed. And if you follow the ways of the world and you play by their rules, people will speak well of you. But Jesus wants to give us what the world can't understand. Jesus wants to bless us in ways that the world is going to look at and say, why are you wasting your life for that? Jesus wants to give us life in His kingdom. Jesus wants to give us true joy that is so much deeper and richer and more eternal than happiness. Jesus wants to give us the promise of heaven. And you see, those things don't come from money or popularity or from going along with the flow of the culture around us. And so the question that we need to be asking ourselves is, whose blessing do I really want? Who am I trying to impress? Whose acceptance and honor really matter?